right, 7:18. Rain continues to fall. It's just been raining all week, but that's not killing any of the spirits and the morale for Saturday. It's going to be a high noon kickoff against South Carolina. And, Kaner, there's some things about dark mode, black jerseys, and craziness. But it's also about the roster and how Tennessee is going to build the momentum off that big win against Missouri. Pulls by Heritage UT Practice Report. Good morning, dude.
Yeah, good morning. Obviously, the big news that dropped on Wednesday, Tennessee will don the black Nike jersey Saturday against South Carolina. It'll be just the second time ever Tennessee wears black. The black jerseys, and the first time since 09 when the Volunteers again took down South Carolina on Halloween. Josh Heupel spoke to members of the media yesterday on the SEC teleconference, praising the South Carolina defense, saying it's one of the nation's leaders in takeaways with 14. Gamecocks coach Shane Beamer said on the conference call that he's never seen a pace like Josh Heupel's, and the Tennessee, they're going to want to run the football down your throat. Josh Heupel again will meet with the media one final time later this morning at 11:20 before no media on Friday and, of course, Tennessee, South Carolina noon on Saturday. Tennessee Football Practice Report is brought to you by Pools by Heritage. Beat the spring rush. Get your pool started now, from design to construction to maintenance. One call can do it all. Call Pools by Heritage at 947-7527.
Will and I chatted about this yesterday, Kaner. I want your take on this. We have the reasons why, or feel like we have the reasons why, you have these black jerseys, wearing them against Carolina. Your thoughts, perhaps maybe you think they should have extended it a week and waited till Lane came to town?
Yeah, I'm sure you guys went over a lot of this yesterday as well. But the way I look at it, like, I mean, yeah, it would have been awesome for a night game. Number one, night game wearing black. I mean, that's what you want, right? It's a big game against Ole Miss. It'd be on the SEC Network, all that type of stuff. It's against Lane Kiffin. That'd be all great. But in my opinion, you want to wear these alternates whenever you're going to win a football game, right? And South Carolina's not a gimme, but you can beat South Carolina by double digits, right? And, you know, it's going to be a very uphill battle against Ole Miss the following week. So, you know, I have no issue with it. Plus, it's going to be on ESPN2. Maybe more eyeballs will be on ESPN2, see the black jerseys there at noon. Maybe that was kind of the reason for it. But the biggest thing for me is, you want to wear these alternate uniforms in a game that you feel like you can go out there and handle business. And it would be a challenge a week later against the Rebels, in my opinion.
Am I wrong to say that there's also, or there should be, the concern that, because people are lazy in the media, right? And especially, I mean, these days, it's not like people are writing four articles a week and getting paid six figures to do it these days. You got to write three articles a day sometimes. People are just going to do the lazy thing of Tennessee wears, Lane Kiffin would get the juice from you wearing them on the night that Lane's there.
Yeah,
it would be Lane first and Tennessee second. Yep. And if I'm Tennessee, that's not the kind of attention I'm looking for. I'm not looking to give Lane attention. I'm looking to get attention for my own program.
No, I would agree with that as well. I mean, Lane Kiffin, the guy that says, get your popcorn ready, literally drops the headset and then walks off and gets stopped by Alabama. He would find a way to make it all about himself. Well, sure.
Or the media would just do it for him. He didn't have to do it these days, right? Because Lane does say things on Twitter. Because Lane's fun. Lane says crazy things on Twitter and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So because of that,
it would be the low-hanging fruit, for sure.
Yeah, and that's the thing I think that people would go with. Is people usually go with the low-hanging fruit, unfortunately.
I was doing digging yesterday. South Carolina's backfield. What am I missing about Kevin Harris? Now, granted, people are allowed to come out of the gate slow, but Kaner in particular, Georgia, Kentucky, not strong. Heck, even some of their early games, it just seems like Kevin Harris hasn't found that stride just yet.
Yeah, I mean, he was one of the, I believe, if my memory serves me correct, guys, he led the SEC in rushing yards per game last year. He was among one of the league leaders, that's for sure. I don't think that he led the SEC in rushing, but I think it was rushing.
He was a highlight of that team last year.
But nonetheless, Shane Beamer on the conference call yesterday said that he missed all of practice in fall camp. He came back. He was sick for 2 weeks. And so week two against East Carolina was really the first week he got to practice. And so he was like, I'm not trying to make excuses for him, but he's barely been out here. And so he is leading the team in carries right now by a small margin, but he's third in rushing yards. You've got White that's about 20 yards more from him. You've got a true freshman in Juju McDonald that's about 5 yards ahead of him, but he's still getting his touches. And I think the hope for Shane Beamer is that, you know, Kevin Harris, he's still getting his feet under, and the more and more that he plays and more of the reps, you'll get to see him back to his old self.
Guys, Carolina's 3-2. They've got 3 wins this year. Respect. But I watched them last week in that Troy game. Went back and watched it.
I'm sorry.
I've also seen It is what it is.
I'm on the hashtag beat. I didn't even do that.
It is what it is. But I also judge them as how they performed against Kentucky and Georgia. I don't care how you spend this. The backfield's not giving them any help. This is just a slow, boring, just not good, Carolina.
Without that 74-yard pick six, I mean, what are we talking about
it's
here?
Still yeah. It's
what, a three-point win, potentially?
Troy is still smelling blood in the fourth quarter, and it's not as convincing as it is, yes.
In non-uniform-related situations, Alex Golish has been a guy who's kind of, I don't want to say juiced up Hendon Hooker, but he's been a guy that's said really positive things all year about Hendon Hooker. Spoke about Hooker earlier this week. What did he have to say?
Yeah, it's weird. And again, you know, you read between the lines and stuff like that. It's like he praises Hooker so much, and that's fine. He's done a nice job. It's kind of like, all right, Alex Golish, what do you think about Joe Milton? But when asked about Hendon Hooker earlier this week when he took to the podium, you know, meeting with us, he said, hey, you know exactly what you're going to get with Hendon Hooker, okay? His highs are not too high. His lows are not too low. He is steady in terms of how he responds to things, how he goes about his business. And that's something you want in a quarterback. You said when you know exactly what you're going to get out of your quarterback, it makes things so much easier to go out there and call and to game plan, all that type of stuff. Said, hey, he prepares like a pro. He's a vet. He's savvy. He's cool. He's got a cool, calm demeanor. And I feel like that describes Hendon Hooker pretty well. So Alex Golish, a big fan of what Hendon Hooker's done. And Hendon Hooker's done a nice job of protecting the football the last couple weeks, and that will be a challenge this week, guys. South Carolina amongst the league leaders, not just the league leaders, leading the SEC in takeaways, but amongst the nation leaders in turnovers per game with 14 on the year.
Vols go dark mode. Noon kickoff against South Carolina. We'll have it for you. That coming up here on the flagship station for the University of Tennessee with game day all day beginning at 6 a.m. Saturday morning.